you need to be providing the number one solution to a real problem in this world.
This is the Inbound Forecast, a podcast series about inbound marketing and organic growth for B2B companies. Here's your host, Gerald Arcus.
In this episode, my guest is John Lee Dumas. John Lee Dumas is the host of Entrepreneurs on Fire, an award-winning podcast where he interviews inspiring entrepreneurs. He has published over 3,800 episodes and has 1 million listens a month, with a total of over 132 million. He has created a 7-figure annual revenue with his podcast, and when I wanted to quit my job in 2015, his podcast helped me to get the right mindset to take this step. He did all of his growth organically, so I think all B2B companies can learn a lot from his approach. The time I had with John was limited, so that's why I recorded this intro without John. Let's go to the episode. John, welcome to my show. It's an honor to have you here. My podcast is about organic growth for B2B companies, and I like the way you did it. I listened to your podcast for a very long time. I think in 2015, it was for me the reason to, or one of the reasons to quit my job and to start working for myself.
Yes.
I'd like to hear your journey of how you grow organically with your company, with your podcast, your brand.
Well, first off,
take me through the journey.
I am really honored to hear that I was part of your journey back in 2015 to have the knowledge, the courage, the support, the guidance, potentially even, you know, the aha moment and the idea to break free and to bring your message, your voice, your mission to the world, which is super cool. So I'm really glad to be a part of that. And for me, it really comes down to such a base core foundation for any type of growth, but specifically organic growth. Are you creating the number one solution to a real problem in this world? Because people will beat a path to the doorstep of the number one solution to their problem, and they will ignore the second best solution all the way through infinity, because nobody wants the second best, the 10th best, the 100th best solution to their problem. They want the best solution. And when you provide the best solution, organic growth comes so naturally, because then people become your evangelists. They start screaming from the rooftops, look at what JLD provided me. Look at what Jarrell provided me. They provided me the solution to my problem, the best solution to my problem. They start telling their family, their friends, their peers, and that kind of scale, leverage, and organic growth is just natural. So come back to the core issue. Are you the number one solution to a real problem?
Yeah, that's interesting. But I think you started with a podcast, right? And then you start selling things, but first with content.
Yes. So I started with a podcast.
And then the solution or the content you created had to be the best content in that specific niche.
Well, in some ways, but you can look at what are you providing the solution to in different ways. So was I providing the best podcast content? No. Was I providing the best podcast interviews of entrepreneurs? No. But was I providing the best daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs? And the answer to that was emphatically yes. Why? Because I was the only daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. There was no competition. So I was the number one solution to that problem that certain people had of saying, man, I wish there was a daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. One doesn't exist. Until Entrepreneurs on Fire did, I filled that void. I provided that solution. And at day one, I became the best daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. I was also the worst. I was the only.
Yeah, for me, it was part of my morning routine with running. And yeah, you're right. I think then you're the only solution, but also the best solution there is.
And so, I look at you insight. And I'm like, that's what I was picturing when I created the concept. I said, there's going to be people like Jarrell who get up every day and go for a run as part of their morning routine. There's going to be people that get up every day and drive to work, get up every day and walk their dog, which it happens to be myself, by the way. That's what I do. every single day, every single morning as my first activity. And people like yourself and me and that commuter that I talked about, they don't want to have one podcast interview on Monday and then have to wait 7 days for the next one, which is what every podcast was doing. They were doing one episode per week. You want to wake up every morning and know there's a fresh episode waiting for you in your podcast listening app. And that's what entrepreneurs provided. So I was not the best podcast host, especially when I launched back in 2012. You got the JLD version of 2015. So at least I had 3+ years of practicing, of getting better. But people that started with me day one, man, they were getting, you know, an inexperienced, not highly qualified, and, you know, just average to below average podcast host for a while. I don't know if you actually went back and listened to some of the older episodes, but, you know, they're not pretty.
And so when you started, which channels were important for you? So I can imagine, for example, that social media was a big part of your traffic to the podcast, but maybe some other channels as well.
Email was really the biggest, because email gave me this opportunity to reach into people's inbox on a daily or at least multiple times per week basis and have real conversations with them. You know, the thing is that social media is very loud. Even back in 2012, 2015, 2018, social media was still loud back then. There's a lot of things happening. A lot of people are on there for different reasons. But when somebody subscribes to your email list, they're raising their hand. They're saying, I want to hear from you when you have something valuable to say. And so for me, being able to reach out to people directly and get into their inbox and have them be solely focused on that email for whatever that I was trying to deliver value within that email content on a day or weekly basis, that was so critical for me. And honestly, it's still huge 10 years later to this day. I still look at my email subscribers as the most valuable part of my business besides my podcast subscribers.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it's also hard when you start from scratch. You don't have any email subscribers. So yeah, first people have to find you, right? Before they can subscribe.
They do have to find you.
And can you give some more insight about how you did that? Was it word of mouth or maybe some popular podcast apps that suggested you?
So for me, what was so big was I decided I was going to interview the world's most successful entrepreneurs. Now, to be considered one of the world's most successful entrepreneurs, you have done something to make you successful. You have built an audience. You've built a product or a service that's really given you some notoriety, some following. And so these individuals that I was interviewing had followings on Twitter, on Facebook, via their email newsletter, whatever that might be. And so I was able to send them an email every single morning and say, hey, your interview on Entrepreneurs on Fire just went live. And if you want it to be listened to by as big of an audience as possible, I would love if you shared it with your audience. Here's all the links to make it happen. Here's some sample copy. I made it really simple for them to share their episode with their audience. And guess what? Not everybody's going to do that. But when you do a 7-day a week show instead of a once a week show, instead of getting an opportunity to have 4 people a month share, maybe one of them does, maybe 2 of them do. Yeah. I was doing that 30 times a month. So maybe 10 people were, maybe 15 people were. And that really started to add up, where these individuals were sharing their episode on Entrepreneurs on Fire with their audience. And so that audience just kept kind of piling into my podcast, listening to the episode, subscribing, building my listener base up. And then I would always give calls to action at the end of my podcast. And I would say, hey, listen, if you enjoyed this podcast, I have a fantastic newsletter where I share the top 20 productivity hacks of today's top entrepreneurs. And then I would rotate that too. Like, I wouldn't keep that one for months and months and months. I would keep adjusting the different value that my audience is going to get for subscribing to my newsletter. And I would always drive them back to that. And, you know, when I started focusing on Instagram, because Instagram became a good channel at some point, I would also direct people to my Instagram. Hey, make sure you follow me at John Lee Dumas on Instagram. I'm delivering great value there as well. And I would just kind of change up these different calls to action to build my audience in different areas. But again, always leading with value first.
Yeah. So to keep them listening, email was very important, but I think the part of introducing the podcast to new people, using the network of the people you interview, I think that's also for me, that's an important one.
Exactly.
The most important one, I think. So I think after a few years, you launched several products, for example, a book and some other products. How did you do the scaling part? When you grew, I think a lot of things cost you way more time than when you were starting. So can you give some insights about that part?
So one thing that I've always done with Entrepreneurs on Fire is do my best to engage with my audience. I would always ask them to send me an email, to send me a message on social media, to confirm, to like chat with me and confer with me in any way, shape, or form that they were comfortable with doing. Either, you know, whether that maybe leave a review on Entrepreneurs on Fire with a comment. I would always try to engage with these individuals, and I would always be asking them when they engage with me, I'd say, hey, where did you find out about me? Like, where did you find out about Entrepreneurs on Fire? So I started to learn through engaging with them what exactly were the avenues that they were learning about me from, whether it be, oh, this guest that that I've been following for a while mentioned that they were on the podcast. So that's how I found out about you. So that was confirming that me having these guests sharing the episodes was working, or maybe somebody posted about this on Twitter, or this podcast article featured Entrepreneurs on Fire. Like, I was finding out all these different ways that people were finding me, and so I could amplify the things that were working. I would always ask them what they liked about the podcast and what they didn't like about the podcast. So over time, I could really kind of adjust and mold the podcast to what the majority of my listeners really liked and stop doing the things that a lot of people did not like. And then the fourth and most important thing, which is relevant to your question, is I said, what is your biggest struggle right now? And then I would keep notes on their biggest struggles. And it was from that list that I would choose the solutions I wanted to provide to their struggles. And that was always giving me the idea on what's the next product, what's the next service, what's the next offering that I want to provide to Fire Nation, whether that be Podcaster's Paradise, you know, a podcasting course and community, or the Freedom Journal, or writing a book, whatever that might be. It was always an answer to my audience's biggest struggles. So that really keeping my finger on the pulse for them was absolutely critical.
Interesting. And was it all organically, or did you also use advertising, for example, to grow your audience?
It was all organic. I think advertising can definitely be used effectively. I've never done so until super recently. Like, I'm talking about like this year. And in fact, really this quarter of this year. So 10 years into Entrepreneurs on Fire, we've started testing out some advertising plays. And to be honest with you, we're not finding fantastic results right now. So this could be something that we stop doing. We're going to give it, you know, an honest 4 or 5 months to really see the results. But we have not done any advertising up to that point. And here's a big reason, by the way, a little inside baseball is, you never could track your subscribers on Apple Podcasts for all of these years. And then like 4 months ago, Apple released a new function where you can track your subscribers, and you can track your gained subscribers and your lost subscribers on a daily basis. So now that we have access to that information, we were willing to try sponsorships and advertising within that, because we knew that we could actually track the ROI, the return on investment. And as I kind of hinted at, it's definitely not been a terrible experience, but it hasn't really been the kind of result that we want. So I'm still kind of on the fence about whether we're going to continue, but at least that's an opportunity. And to be honest, you know, here we are 10 years in, we have hundreds of thousands of subscribers to the podcast. We have millions of listens every single month of the podcast. So it has such a smaller effect for us percentage-wise. But yeah, for new podcasters, this could be something that really does make sense.
Well, podcasting is getting a lot more crowded than it used to be than when you started. So it is getting harder, of course. And I think that's the case for most organic marketing initiatives. So yeah, maybe it's a bit more necessary than 10 years ago.
I'd say so.
John, our time is limited today. Do you have one more last takeaway for organic growth for our listeners?
Honestly, for organic growth, it comes back to a quote that I've lived by for more than 10 years from Albert Einstein. Try not to become a person of success, but rather a person of value. If you want organic growth, if you want organic success, you need to be providing real value. And I even take it to the next step. You need to be providing the number one solution to a real problem in this world. So if you have to niche down a few times, that's okay, because I had to 10 years ago. So you better believe you're going to have to in 2022 and beyond. Podcast. I niche down to business podcast. I niche down to business podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. I niche down again to the frequency of a daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. And it was all the way down there that I was able to be the number one solution to a real problem. So niche your flipping face off until you become the number one solution to a real problem in this world.
Well, I like your quote, the riches are in the niches. So, like it. There was an error in the last 20 seconds of the recording. It wasn't uploaded correctly. So I'm ending this podcast without John. John, thanks for the nice conversation, and everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Inbound Forecast. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app.